Hey, let's give it up for Jesus one more time. Come on, he's worthy. I want us to do a big favor. Do me a favor. I'm gonna look right into the camera. We got people tuning in from all over this morning. I want to welcome our online church family. Come on, Active Church, give them a big welcome. Good morning. It's good to see you. You guys look good. You guys feel good? Yeah. How many of you guys needed that worship this morning? I know I did. Man, that last song. I got that Hillsong Worship or the Hillsong United CD in my car. I've had it in my truck for like 2 years. Like, I just don't listen to the CD. You know how you hook up your Apple or whatever? You got your Apple Music. But I have a CD that just stays. Remember when you had like a CD case? And you're like, oh, I got to bump this new one, right? And now you just connect via Bluetooth. Well, I've had this CD in my car for 2 years. And that song has been on, I've just heard it over and over and over. And when we sang it, open up my heart to you, I just think about, man, isn't that what God's just waiting for? Like, we're like, I'm waiting for you. God's like, no, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to take some time to just get in my presence. And I'm just convinced that when we lean in, whatever we lean into leans back into us. So if we're like leaning into like Twitter and politics on Facebook and we're just like, and I get it. It gets me mad. Like I get, and then you like, you listen to like really like biased political news sometimes. You're like, yeah, you like get mad at the other side. You're like, and I understand what's going on in our world. But can we just pause this morning? And I believe that our faith should impact the way we live our lives out there. I don't hear what I'm not saying. And I believe that Jesus is Lord over all. And I just believe that when we slow down a little bit, and we get in the presence of God, the most important things become clear. And the urgent and the static and all the other stuff that we cannot control seems to fade away. And I just want to pray right now for us in this moment. I just believe God wants to speak to you. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit's going to move right now. It's even moving, even during worship, I felt like God was moving. And so I just want to pray that God continue to use this time together. Let's pray this. Would you bow your heads? Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. I thank you for everyone joining us online. I thank you for just the Fremont Theater, Lord, that we get to have church. We have the freedom to be here, to gather, to assembly, to come together in the presence of God. And Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've reminded us of this past weekend. As we reflect on 9/11 and what happened over 20 years ago, Lord, we think about the United States of America. We think about the attacks that happened. We think about what that did to our country. It shook us. It rattled us. It made us reflect on what's most important. And I think about 20 years ago on 9/12, what the church did, the local church. People, there was churches flooded, God, because people got back to what was most important. Lord, would you unite our country? Would you heal our land? Would you bring a fresh wind, a fresh fire, Lord, in a way that would just sweep our country, Lord, so that we might become, Lord, united under Christ, Lord. We might be people, Lord, that seek your face, Father, that you would do a mighty work in our land. I thank you for today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. All right, guys. We're going to get into it right now. Before we do that, we're wrapping up a series called A Better Way today. And then as Allie said, next week, a week from today is like a don't miss Sunday. Like let's just be honest. Did I tell you first service is my favorite? You're my favorite service. Did I tell you that? Have I told you that lately? Honestly. And have I told you I love being your pastor? Like, it is like, I can't believe God chose me. Like, I literally, it trips me out. Like, I get to do this. And I just love being your pastor. So thanks for being here. We're going to be here for about 3 hours. So I hope you brought a snack today. It's going to take about an hour and a half just to get through this first text. If you have a tech team, give it up for our tech team. We can put up a little, yeah, they're going to put up a timer for me. It says, there it is. Sweet. Yeah, our production team gets here early, man, and they do such a great job every weekend, and it's just a shell when we get in here, and then all of a sudden there's trusses going up, and so we love you guys. Thank you for all that you do for tech and worship and all that good stuff. We're excited because a week from today, we're celebrating our four-year anniversary, birthday, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. And I can't wait because I just remember like 4 years ago, before we even launched this church, we got this team together about, you know, I don't know, there's probably almost 90 people that were like on our launch team. And we would just talk about, I'm like, hey, we're going to plant this church. And hey, we're going to invite people on September 17th. Like everyone's going to come out. And it was really weird inviting people to a church that didn't exist. It's like, you should come to this thing that doesn't exist yet, but it will. And the people, some people would look at me like, you're crazy, aren't you? And you tell someone you're a church planter when you're like playing with your kids at the park. Like, I'm like, what do you do? They're like, oh, I'm an engineer. I went to Poly. And like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a church planter. And it's like, oh, cool. See ya, you know? But then I would talk to people and they would say things like, oh, you're not weird. Or like, you're a Christian, but I feel like you're not one of those weird Christians. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know what that means, but I thank you. I think it's a compliment. And then we would invite people to church. And guess what? You know what's weird? People wanted to come to church. You're not the minority. People are hungry for God. The culture would tell you, no, the faith is dead. That's old, antiquated. I'm telling you, people are hungry for Jesus. They just don't know it yet. And so we said, let's plant a life-giving church, a church that brings life to people, that doesn't look at the Bible as a way to beat people up and smack them on the head, but we could take the word of God and say, man, we believe everything in this book, and sometimes it's really hard to live out, and sometimes it's really challenging to what I actually believe intuitively, but when I follow this thing, and when I build my life on God's word, I can actually lift people up. God will use it to lift my life and I can lift other people up. What if we could plant a church that helped people connect to God, connected them to other people so they could find freedom, discover their purpose and make a difference. And the word of God would be the foundation so we could build people's lives up. And on September 17th, 2017, 417 people showed up and 29 people said yes to Jesus on day one. Pray all glory to God. And I was like, we are off and running. And so we're going to celebrate all that God has done over these last 4 years and look forward ahead. It's going to be a lot of fun. A couple things we got, speaking of looking ahead, as Allie said, youth ministry is kicking off. Come on, active youth, come on. If you're going to bet on anything, here's what you should bet on. Bet on growing in your knowledge with God every day. Like, you could put bank on that. Just like, you don't need a life hack. You don't need a master class. Just get along with God. Bet on that. Put money on that. Invest in your relationship with God and invest in the next generation, okay? Do those two things. We believe in the local church. We're called to steward our influence for the next generation. There's a lot of churches that are filled with people. They got big buildings and they have empty rows because they did not invest in the next generation. We're going to invest our time, talent, resource. And by the way, thank you for giving to Active Church. You're making a difference. Can we just give it up for all the givers in this house? Come on, those that give financially to support the work. Thank you so much that you're percentage givers. You're giving to build the kingdom. It's not about us. It's about leaving a legacy. And so we're launching youth next week. So if you're here today, invite your student next week. Invite your neighbor that has a 7th or 8th grader or 9th or 10th grader. We're going to meet up front. So if you have any questions, all of our youth, we have some youth volunteers in the lobby. They can answer your questions. We have some information on a card. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. A word came to mind as I was thinking about the church. Can I share it with you? It's Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And Jesus is talking about his church. Do you know he really cares about his church? Like this thing that we're doing, it's not just like, oh, I go to church on Sunday. Like, no, it's like this has actually been happening a lot longer than we've been around. Like it started back in 2,000 years ago when Jesus would look at Peter and he'd say, hey, on this rock, I will build my church. And here's what he says. I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I think about what we're doing every single weekend and every single time a small group meets or every single time we go to Growth Track and take a next step. What we're doing is we're building God's church. And notice he says, it's my church. He's very passionate about his church. He doesn't say, I'm building my fill in the blank, I'm building my business organization. No, no, no. He's saying, I'm building this ecclesia, this people that are called out for my name. I'm building this thing and the gates of hell will not overcome it. How many of you know, no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what's happening on the news and whatever's happening in political realms or whatever, or pandemics, God is still gonna build his church. He's faithful to build his church no matter what, and we're a part of that. In Jesus' name, all right? All right. Hey, there's the title of my message today, if you're taking notes, is The Way of Life. The Way of Life. Let me ask you a question. When you think about God, and you think about your relationship with God, what do you think about when you think about what God thinks about you? It's early on a Sunday morning. I just confused you. I'll say it again. What do you think about when you think about what God thinks about you? You got it that time. Yeah, okay. Because what you think about when you think about what God thinks about you will ultimately determine how you relate to God. It really will. How you think about your neighbor and your coworker and even your spouse, when you think about what they think about when they think about you, that will determine how you think about them. This is a relational dynamic. We serve a relational God. This is not God in the cosmos and we're just down here little ants doing his will. This is not us just like, God's like up there like, hello, this is God. Go and therefore. Like, God doesn't do that. I don't hear God audibly, by the way. I hear people tell me, I heard the voice of God. I'm like, that's awesome. I wish God would tell me what to do like that. I got his Bible and I got the Holy Spirit. Pretty good. Some people can hear God, I guess. I can't. But he's up. God is not up there in the ether somewhere just kind of hanging out. God is a personal relational God, and he thinks something. When he thinks about you, there's something that comes across his mind. And I want to talk about that because it will determine the approach you use when you're coming to God. So here's the question. What's going to be your approach when it comes to God? I think there's two ways to approach God when you know Jesus. And this is for people, if you're here today and you're like, I'm not really a follower of Jesus, like, hey, I'm just glad you're here. Like, honestly, I'm so glad you're like, I don't know if I belong here. Like, I know that feeling oh so well. I've been in churches where I am a Christian. I'm like, I don't know if I belong here. I hope you feel accepted here. I hope you feel like I can belong here, even if I don't believe all this yet. I hope you can wrestle with your faith. I hope you don't just feel like, man, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I believe all that. Let me tell you something. Like, faith and knowledge is progressive. I believe God can save you in a moment, but I'm just glad that you're here. But if you're a Christian, I wanna talk about a better way of relating to God this morning. And I think there's two ways, and I'm gonna talk about today the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we're going all the way back to Genesis, okay? If you have your Bible, open to Genesis. It's the easiest book to find. It's the first book, right? Genesis chapter 1 tells of a story of creation. I'd submit to you that you have the same. Your story is you were created. You were born, okay? Your story, your Genesis 1 is God created you. So God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1, we see that. And then the second part of your story is that as you were creating, you got to an age of accountability, you had a choice to make, right? A choice to do what you wanted to do or to do life God's way. And we're gonna see in the creation account, we're gonna look at two different trees, two different worldviews, if you will, two different ways of relating to God. I think it's a better way. There's a better way, and we're gonna look at this morning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 says this. Now, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, watch this, were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Pause. There's two trees tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's been no talk of a fruit yet. By the way, there's no talk of an apple in this story at all. I think some of us were like, oh yeah, it's like we've had too many like drawings of in our minds seeing Eve eat the apple, or you know, it's like there's actually no apple. There's a talk of a fruit, but there's not even talk of sin yet. So stay with me. There's two trees, and I would submit to you, these are trees that are worldviews or ways of approaching God. The tree of life, which is God's way, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is man's attempt to understand God on his own terms. You still with me? If you're here, say here.
Here.
All right. If you were here last week, you know what I'm talking about. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, hey, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden. But, watch this, you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat, God says, you will surely die. Pause. This is a religious mindset. This is and nothing wrong with the word religion. Religion is just an outward expression of an inward heart change. But when I say religion, what I mean is the negative connotation of relating to God based off works, not off relationship. See, a lot of people, when you say religion, they're like, in our culture, the context of religion has changed drastically. It used to have a pure meaning, but even the word Christian carries a lot of weight sometimes too. That's why I say I'm a follower of Jesus, even though there's nothing wrong with the word Christian. It actually means little Christ. But really, the word religion carries a lot of weight. And so when I say religion, the way that we see this idea of the knowledge of good and evil is that when you eat of this tree, you actually die. You kill the work of God in you because you're focusing on only the externals and not the internal. It goes on, Genesis 3, and I would submit this is the third kind of part of your story as well. We see the serpent deceive Eve, you know the story. She eats the fruit. Adam eats of it as well. And then how did he get her to eat the fruit? We're going to see in a moment. But the enemy lied to her. That's what he does. He's a deceiver. He lies. He tricks. And I would submit to you that you and I, when we fall short of God's perfect plan, which is called sin, let's just call it is what it is. That's what it is. A lot of pastors don't like to use the word sin. It's an archery term. It means to miss the mark, okay? So like if you've ever gone and shot, you know, you've shot some arrows, you missed the bullseye, you've sinned. That's what it means. For us, sin is simply doing anything God would not want us to say, do, or think. Like that's sin. It's like, oh, we've missed the mark. And so what happens is when we sin, we actually have the enemy come in and he starts lying. First, he deceives us saying, if you just give into this, this is gonna be great. It's gonna be awesome. No one ever sins because it's not fun, right? It seems fun in the moment. You're like, this is great. This is gonna be awesome. This is actually gonna bring me joy. This is gonna fill me up and make me so happy. And then all of a sudden you give into the sin, and all of a sudden that's when the enemy comes back. He's like, what did you do? You're terrible. You're not a Christian. Look at what, am I speaking to anybody? Come on. I'm the only sinner in here. Gosh, Lord help me. Worse, yeah. Verse 1, chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And that's exactly what he does every single time. He challenges God's word. The enemy will always go after God's word because he knows that if he can get you to doubt what God said, he can get you into anything. Did God really say to do that? Just so you know, at Active Church, we're always going to believe God. I don't care what happens in culture. I don't care whatever people on the news or social media are saying about this is normal, that's, I'm just gonna say my life is built on this. If it doesn't fit in this, it doesn't belong. I know it's not always popular. I know it's not always the thing that everyone's talking about, but can I just tell you, this is the word of God. This will last forever. And whatever is the culture, whatever's happening in culture, that will shift like the sands. As long as I'm the pastor of Active Church, we're gonna do our best to build our church. Are we gonna fall short? Yeah, we'll fall short. Are there times we're not gonna get it right in our own lives? Absolutely. But can I just tell you, we believe the word of God is true, all of it. Amen? All right. Did God really say? And the woman said to the serpent, well, we can eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it. Watch this, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. Watch this. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Notice, he doesn't even appeal to her desire to do bad things. He actually appeals to her desire to be godly. He says, you will know, look at this, good and evil. In other words, he's like, hey, God just doesn't want you to do that because he knows that you'll know good things. In other words, he appeals not to her self-interest in terms of what she would want to do that's bad, but he appeals to her godly self-interest. This is why religion, people that are just doing things because they want to earn God's love, this is why it kills, because you can actually be doing the right things for the wrong reasons and it'll produce negative fruit or bad fruit that will kill the work of the Spirit in your lives. That's what the Pharisees did. That's what Jesus was coming to do, to undo the broken systems that the religious leaders of the law were teaching people and putting on all this heavy yoke and this heavy weight. He's like, no, you completely have missed it. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And so it goes on to say, they ate the fruit. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit was of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, watch this, she took some, she ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Watch this. Then the eyes of both of them were open. Boom. Sin entered, and they could see that they were both naked. And they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Every single time sin enters your life, innocence is broken and shame is maximized. Innocence is broken when sin enters, and then shame becomes the voice that you hear in your thoughts. You're not good enough. You're not Christian enough. And this is what happens when you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When you take a worldview of like, I'm just gonna work my way to God. I'm gonna do everything I can so that he loves me. Listen, there's a better way, because the tree of life does not do that. The tree of life is different. I'm gonna talk about that. And I'm gonna give you four kind of opposing thoughts or different views of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. I'm gonna talk about this because there's a better way and you have choices. So number one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil says, do more to get God to love you, basically. Do more, be better, read more, study more, try harder, just be a good Christian. Don't sin. Like, I'm just not gonna think about sin. Don't think of a pink elephant. Stop thinking of a pink elephant. Pink elephants are bad. Stop thinking of them. Some of you guys are like, I didn't do it. Okay, good. But some of you did. What am I saying? The tree of knowledge of good and evil is basically telling you, if you want to be loved by God, then there's certain things you got to do, and there's certain things that you must expect others to do. This is why you get some mean Christians all the time, and they know the Bible, and they'll tell you, and they'll yell at you and tell you why you're a sinner, or they'll yell, worse yet, here's what's funny. I like to do this with people. When they start telling me about people that are not Christians and all the sins that they're doing, I'm like, wow, it's crazy. It's crazy because they've surrendered their lives to Jesus and they're actually living for God, and yet they believe that this is okay to do. And they're like, well, no, they don't at all. I'm like, yeah, because they're not following Jesus. So maybe they're free to sin. Because I'm not here to be the sin police. That's not my job. You're like, what? Yeah, if you're not a Christian and you think my job is not to police you, my job is to love you. Jesus didn't go around saying, I can't believe you're an adulterer, you're a murderer. He was like, no, how do I love you? How do I show my, let me, just stay with me. I'm getting ahead of myself. Are you here? Good. The tree of life says this, receive what Jesus already did for you. There's hyper grace teachers that teach, you know, just it's all grace. Do whatever you want. And that's not biblical. But can I tell you something? They got part of it right. None of us deserve heaven at all. That's the problem with humanism. It actually believes that the human being can accelerate their good behavior can actually make them right in the eyes of this of our moral kind of code that we have on this earth. Humanism is like, I'm gonna do good so that I appear to be good, but here's what we know. All of us are utterly helpless without the grace of God. Like, you are loved not because you're good, you're loved in spite of your lack of godliness. God loves you no matter what. He loves you so much, but he's like, you're bankrupt without me, and so am I. All of us. See, the tree of life is just receiving what God did. Check out what the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 39 says. Jesus is talking to a group of people, and they were going the wrong way. They were pharisaical, they were Pharisees. They really thought that they, and I'm telling you, can I just be honest with you? Morally, the Pharisees were better than you and me. They were so good. Like, they were like, okay, for example, anyone know any Mormon people? Amazing people. You wanna have someone help you move your house? There'll be 10 Mormons over tomorrow to move your house with pizza, smiling. Hey, how you doing? I'm Elder so-and-so. They teach a false gospel, but they're amazing people. But we don't teach, but watch, check this out. But we're not here to be doing the right things only. Jesus is saying, watch, ultimately, Jesus actually condemns the religious people that were putting on extra weight onto the people and making it hard for others to know God. He was actually, that bothered him. It significantly bothered him. He's like, that's not what I'm about. He talked to the Pharisees and he's like, you guys, you're really good on the outside, but on the inside, he's like, you're just a bunch of whitewashed tombs. You're dead. The bones are on the inside. The outside looks blinging, like you look great, but on the inside, it's all dead. And he speaks to these religious people, and here's what he says. He goes, hey guys, you diligently study the scriptures because, watch this, you think that by them, you possess eternal life. He's like, you missed it, in other words. You guys missed the point. He goes, these are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have eternal life. In other words, he's saying, you're eating from the tree, the way of the knowledge of good and evil. It's an outward expression, but the inward is dead. There's nothing good inside of you other than you're judgmental. You don't actually receive God's love. You actually make it harder for people to know God. And this is why people say, I like God, but I hate church. Can we not be that? Can we just be the church that loves people where they're at? See, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is basically trying to get God's approval. It's like, do you love me yet, God? Did you see what I did? Did you see? I did that. I prayed. I prayed for an hour today, God. I read my Bible. And all those are awesome. But it's like, oh, how many chapters did you read? Oh, I read 4. Oh, I only read 1. Well, I'm better than you. And here's what happens. Here's what I believe. When you start, here's how I know. You want to know a warning sign of how you've been eating from the wrong tree? Here's how. Two choices. Scientists say that you have about 300 to 1,000 words per minute of self-talk in your brain every single moment. Some of you have, I think women have a little bit more than that, honestly. Women speak like 3 times more than words per day than men. Just throughout how God, I don't know, not all, but just mostly. Do you know 80%, researchers show that 80% of your self-talk is negative? So when you start thinking the worst about yourself and others, maybe you swung from eating the tree of life where you could receive God's love and his grace and his mercy, and you're reminded that, man, I don't deserve this, but I got it. This is awesome. And every day's a gift because, man, I deserve hell, but I got heaven. I got, man, God is for me, not against me. Man, he's given me a plan and a purpose for my life. And all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you'll swing to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And all of a sudden that self-talk is saying, you're so stupid. You're so dumb. Why are you doing that? Why did you say that? I can't believe you did that. I can't believe. And you'll start hearing the voice. And I believe sometimes this is where the enemy gets us. And I don't think every negative thought is the devil. Like, you're like, we're not so important that Satan's like, I must go and give negative self-talk to Adam today. Like, that's not always like, come on. But do I think that like in a demonic warfare world where there's stuff happening that we can't see, is there a time where I'm listening to the wrong voice possibly? And maybe, just maybe, it is me, but maybe, just maybe, there's another voice, a demonic spirit speaking that negative thought over me. Here's what I know. What you think about ultimately comes out of your life. Maybe you think God's mad at you. That's what the tree of knowledge of good and evil will produce. God's mad at you. He's just mad. Like, I remember one time I stubbed my toe and my grandma was like, see, God's mad at you. He's getting back. Like, I was like, that's terrible, Grandma. I love you, but I was being bad, you know? She's like, see, God's punishing you. And I'm like, oh, crap. Maybe you love Jesus, but you feel like he's constantly disappointed with you. That's not the tree of life. My view was that, you know, God's ready to punish me. I remember I was a waiter in Bakersfield at this restaurant called Goose Looney's. It was a really fine establishment. It was downtown Bakersfield. And I was like 19 years old and I was a waiter. I wasn't a Christian. And that's always great. You know, be 19, work downtown at a bar and grill. And I wasn't a Christian. I remember someone left me this track. Do you know what a track is? Okay, yeah, chick tracks. There you go. Yeah, Jack Chick. And they were awesome, actually. And I remember getting this. And I remember getting this track, and I have a picture, and it showed God kind of in this weird way. I don't know if you guys got the email, but basically the image shows God, and he's on this, like, have you ever been to, like, the Lincoln Memorial in D.C.? And it shows God, like, with no face, just beams of, like, light coming out of him, and these little tiny people coming up to God's toenail. Like, it's like, beep. And he's got no face, so he's got no emotion. He's got no personality. There he is. And I just remember getting this, and it was like, you're going to hell. And I remember I read it, and I'm so thankful that they were praying for me. They left me a big tip. It was awesome. But I remember thinking to myself, maybe God's really mad at me. And I grew up in a kind of a godly home, but like a God's waiting to zap you kind of. Like, I didn't feel like a relationship with God. I just felt like God was just kind of ready to thump me at any point. Like, he's the big, like, Abraham Lincoln. He's going to, bah, sinner, boom. So I was scared of God. And that translated in how I related to God for many years. Well, because I've sinned, I covered myself up from God. And here's what I did. I avoided the negative, and I didn't want to think about the negative, so I hid, but I also couldn't even fully enjoy the good stuff either. Because if you ignore your emotions, you ignore the dashboard lights long enough, and you're trying to ignore the pain of sin in your life, eventually the highs will no longer feel good either, because the positives in your life, you're emotionally numb, and you can't feel the good, and you can't feel the bad. You just go numb. And if you're eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll keep trying to get more of God, but you're going about it trying to get his approval. And God's like, there's a better way. Because here's what the tree of life does. You just receive God's love for you. God, I wake up, I'm like, thank you, God, for today. Do I start there all the time? No. Sometimes I wake up, there's anxiety, and you have anxiety, you have guilt, you have things that you've done. You're like, oh, you have relationships that are not good, they're unhealthy, and you're like, what do I do? Just wake up tomorrow morning, receive God's love. He loves you so much. How do I know that? Romans 5:8 tells me this. But God, I love this, it's like one of my life verses, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And they didn't have like a hammer and a big old nail, and they weren't just about to jab it through his wrist and go, and he wasn't like, hey, oh, are they gonna love me? Like, I'm not gonna do this. No. That's not what he did. He's like, yeah, put it in, because I'm gonna die for them even if they don't love me back. Dude, like, do you realize how much God loves you? Yeah, pastor, but that, if you just tell people that, they're going to keep on going on sinning, and you're going to affirm that their lifestyle is all God, and what if they believe something? I'm convinced that if you get around Christians long enough, and you get in a relationship with other people that love God, that eventually God will come to your life, and you might have a sin in your life that you think is okay, and eventually someone, you might even say, what does God think about this? And I believe if you hang out with God long enough, he might talk to you about that thing. It's the grace of God. He loves you. He is love. Listen, God, his grace for you, it's his love and it's his grace that invades our minds and transforms our hearts. That's what happens. No one comes to Christ because they're like, oh, I gotta follow these rules. No. You experience the love of Jesus. It's a better way. Because the tree of knowledge and good and evil, it focuses on the external. It's saying, if you do all these things, then God will love you. God's like, that's not how I work. It's like a kid that goes off to college and his parents have always been, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And you've seen this happen. Maybe you've lived that. Maybe you had that freshman year of college where you went off and you're like, now I get to do what I want. And you were only, it was all external behavior modification growing up. And when you're like, I can't wait to get out of this house because I'm going to do what I want. And you ran off and you did what you wanted and you realized, man, that wasn't God. I was in a religious mindset, going to church, checking the boxes, going to youth group. And all of a sudden, I'm at an age of where I can make my own choices and you just kind of vanish from God for a season. Or maybe you're here today and God's saying, come back. The band can come up. I want to end with a worship song. I want to end with... Let's play that. Let's play the second song. Here's what 1 Samuel says. Because God focuses on the internal, not the external. 1 Samuel 16 says, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance. Watch this. But the Lord looks at the heart. God is saying, I don't want to just see all the external things. Like if you're just eating from the tree of knowledge and evil, you might have a worldview that says, if I just do enough for God, then he'll love me. He'll forgive me. The good news is God already forgave you. But the bad news is if you're still focusing on earning God's love, maybe you haven't really understood what the gospel means. The good news. What's the good news? That none of us deserve it. But God in his great mercy looked down and he says, no, I love my kids too much. I love my creation. I know they've cheated. They've gone the wrong way. They've cut corners. They've sinned. They've been self-interested. And we're all self-interested at times. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil makes people want to just obey out of duty. God doesn't want, I guess I gotta go. I don't want to go to hell. So I guess I'll do this whole Jesus thing. If you only obey out of duty, you end up doing the right thing, but you end up kind of being a mean Christian. Gotta earn my way. The tree of life, check this out. The tree of life, you obey out of delight. See, this bothers me when I hear pastors sometimes say, 20 years ago, man, I surrendered to the call of God in my life. I know. God had a call. I surrendered. I'm going to do it. Like it's a bad, like, oh my gosh, you surrendered? Yeah, I surrendered to it. Call of God, ministry. It's like, dude, I can't believe God chose me. You should feel the same. You should be like, I can't believe God loves me. Because I know me. I'm unlovable at times. I can't believe God wants to. I'm like, I'm really God? Are you sure you? Yes, okay. Like God loves you so much. If he had a refrigerator, or a refrigerator as I say growing up, if he had a refrigerator, your face would be on his refrigerator. He's like, I love, that's my boy, that's my girl. I'm so happy he picked me. I'm so happy that the Bible says that before the foundations of the world, that God handcrafted you and I to do good works. You should come to Growth Track tomorrow night. It's gonna be awesome. Understand how God wired you. You weren't just made to serve yourself. You're made to serve a greater purpose. You're made to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. And you'll never know what making a difference or purpose feels like until you actually start to make a difference in the lives of other people, because purpose is always connected to people. Always. As I close, I want to share with you three responses. How do we get to this place where we're just walking with God? Not walking in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not trying to do so God will come down and maybe he'll go, okay, now you've done enough. You got a C+, come into heaven. No. It's not like that. This is pass or fail. If you want to know when you get to heaven, here's the only question he's going to ask you. What'd you do with my son, Jesus? And if your answer is like, God, I honestly blew it so often, but my only hope is that Jesus died for me. That's it. I put my faith in him. He's like, you did it. That's it. It's not, well, did you go to church? No. Where'd you put your faith? I put it in Jesus. Come on in. Number one, three responses, a different way, a better way. Number one, fall in love with Jesus. I used to read this verse the wrong way. John 14:15. I used to read it. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. If you really love me, because I got all weird when I first got saved. I was like, okay, I got to read all the books. I had to catch up. You know, I'm competitive. I was like, what do you guys, okay, systematic theology, okay, I got this. Who else? C.S. Lewis, okay, I got that. You know, I'm like, brrr. And I started judging people. I forgot that I was the same person stuck in the muck and mire. I was drowning, and praise God, someone pulled me out, and I got up on the hill, and I got dried off, and I was on the island, and I was like, oh man, I'm thankful for God. And then all of a sudden, I turned into a Pharisee, and I started pointing out other people's sins. Look at what you're doing. You're going to hell if you don't give your life to Jesus. I don't know what happened to me. I'm a recovering Pharisee. Thank God. But here's what I want. I now read this verse a little differently. There's a comma. If you love me, then you'll obey what I command. If you love me, then you'll do the second half will come naturally. So here's the question. What side of the comma are you living on? Obey what I command. No. If you love me, the second half comes with it. That's the way that we should be as a church. John 14:15, which side of the comma are you living on this morning? You need to ask yourself that. Is it the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Or is it, man, I get to be in relationship with God. I get the tree of life. I receive that this morning. Number two, second response, respond to sin with life. What does that mean? When you see someone sinning, don't go, I told you, I caught you. No. Say, man, that's not good. I've had people do this to me. Dude, here's what I see. I've repented. You need to come alongside people, help get them out of the way that what they're doing. Yeah, it's wrong. But don't just point it out. Say, you know what? Here's what I want to do. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to journey with you. I'm not just going to try to point you to, I'm not just going to point my finger at you. I'm going to point you to the God that can set you free, because grace is about a second chance and a third chance. Hey, come with them and say, you know what? I'm going to walk with you today, because man, you're in a season, but you're not going to stay there. I'm not just going to point your sin out. I'm going to respond to your sin with life. That's what the local church does. That's what we do. That's what Jesus did. That's the church we're going to continue to be for the next 4 years, 8 years, 12 years. We're just going to meet people where they're at. Why? Because that's how Jesus did it. John chapter 3 says this. God didn't go into all the trouble of sending his son. This is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, so just mind you. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his own son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. No. He came to help put the world right again. Jesus saw the brokenness of society, and he's like, I'm not just gonna point my finger at it. I'm gonna say, you know what? We're gonna bring a different way, a kingdom way, and we're gonna put this thing right again. We will always be a church built on the word of God. We will always be a church with a guy. When the girl caught in adultery, what'd he say? He goes, hey, let the first person to be, if he's without sin, cast the first stone. And everyone went away one by one. And then he goes, hey, where are your accusers to the woman caught in adultery? Where are they at? And she goes, I don't have any. And he goes, I don't accuse you either. But he says, you're forgiven. He goes, but go and sin no more. He came with grace, always lead with grace, but then give him truth. Grace is the ability to show people that there is freedom. Grace is the ability to show the love of God, but the truth actually sets him free. It's both grace and truth. It's a better way. Lastly, guard my heart from going back. Jesus came to set me free, not just to make me sorry, not make me to feel bad. He didn't just come in and say, you know what, I'm just gonna weigh you down. No. But when I start falling short, when I start looking at my life, or when I start actually achieving for the kingdom of God, and I start living my life, help me never to go back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil where I just start looking at other people, pointing out their junk. I can't believe she did that. Can't believe he did. Did you know? And start gossiping. No. Don't swing back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're out of time. I got to pray. I have a lot to say today. I hope you got something out of it. Are you here? Say here. There's a better way. The way is to follow Jesus, to receive his love. Let's pray. God, we worship you this morning. We thank you for what you're doing in this house. I pray right now for everyone that's here. It's eyes closed and heads bowed. I know, Lord, that there's people that are walking with some weight of their sin. They're people that know you, but they're just feeling just like you're disappointed in them all the time. God, you love them. Your grace is sufficient for them, for your power is perfected in weakness. And I just pray that we'd be a place where we can be real and honest and say, you know what, I'm not living where I need to be, but Lord, I'm gonna keep coming. I'm gonna keep showing up because I know, Lord, that you're putting the right things together. If you're here today and I'm falling short. I'm not living where I'm supposed to be living. And you need prayer right now. Just raise your hands. I just need prayer. Hands going up everywhere. I'm gonna pray for you that raised your hand. Just say, let's just pray this. Let's just believe together. Father God, I pray for every single person that's just feeling weighed down by this expectation, Lord, that you never put on us. The knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge that says, you know what, I gotta perform to get God's love. I gotta execute these things. And when I don't, you're mad at me. We take that off, that religious spirit of, man, performance. We take it off in Jesus' name. Not so that we might go and sin more, that grace would abound, by no means. No, that we would live holy lives, lives set apart, but God, that we would do it knowing that you love us, you're for us, you're not against us. God, that we would receive the love of Jesus today, that we live a better way, the way of life. And for anyone here today that you're feeling down, you're like, I don't even know Jesus, man. I have no hope right now. I'm telling you, there's hope because God, in his great love for you, sent his only son. The value of something is determined by what someone would pay for it. And God paid everything on the cross for you. He gave his only son. He sacrificed Jesus. Jesus died for your sins and my sins. He was buried in the grave, in the tomb. And on the third day, he came back to life to show the world that you can be trusted, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get to the Father, God, except through him. If you've never accepted this, now's your chance. I'm here to tell you, now is your moment. Today is the day of salvation, and I'm praying that some of you would make that choice right now. If you'd like to do that, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'd like you to make a decision right now. Will you give your life to Jesus? Not a church, not religion. Will you give your life to Jesus? Will you start a relationship with God today? Here's what will happen. He'll give you a fresh start. He'll forgive all your sins, past, present, future. That's the promise of God. He'll give you a new life. All your problems are gonna still be there when you wake up, but you'll have a God that will be with you no matter what, to work with you, to walk with you, to give you power over sin, to give you strength to say no, But you can't do this on your own. You need God, you need Jesus, and you need the local church to be with you. If that's you and you want to accept Jesus, the free gift of salvation right now, and you want to put your life in his hands, on the count of three, just raise your hand. One, two, three, raise your hand right now. Amen. God sees your hand, sir. Amen, ma'am. Amen. Amen. It's awesome. Amen. Let's pray this together. I want you to pray this prayer. Even if you didn't raise your hand, just say this out loud after me. Say this: Heavenly Father, come into my life. I've fallen short. I've sinned. But right now, I turn from my sin and I trust you. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Fill me with your spirit and help me to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, church, let's give a big hand clap to everyone.